different testimonies, but truly our testimony is that name. That name, Jesus. There is none like him. There is none like him. No matter what we've been through, there is none like him. So this morning, Father, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. Come on, saints, praise him, praise him. That name deserves praise. That name, there is only one name above all which all men might be saved. It's the name of Jesus Christ. That is the name we praise. Father, we just thank you this morning. We thank you for that name. We thank you for that name, Jesus. We thank you for that name. We bless that name. The name that is given to only your son, Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords, the one who reigns forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. That's the name that we praise this morning. Not my name, not the government, not the church. We praise Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So this morning, Father, we just thank you. We thank you for that name. We honor that name. We bless that name. As the song said, now we have a purpose. Now we have a destiny. His name is Jesus. See, the word of God says this, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous run into. So Jesus is not just a name. It's a place to find refuge, to find comfort, to find hope, to find life. And that is where we run into this morning. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We honor you for who you are. We honor you for that name, that name, that name, that name that we can cry out to, that name that we can say, Jesus, and you truly do answer. Father, we thank you for your presence this morning. We ask that your presence fill this room, Father, fill our minds, fill our hearts, Lord. Help us to just shake off the weight of the week and to focus on you, to look at you, to see you for who you are, Lord, to see you as the true Lord of our lives. Once again, Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen and amen. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. You may be seated this morning in the house of God. Good morning. Good morning. As always, welcome to our Sunday service. It is good to see you guys out with us. And for those of you guys joining us online, thank you for being here as well. It is good to see you on the other side of the screen. And just thank you for your support and all that you do to make this ministry what it is. And thank you guys for also being on time. You know, with the whole time change, it's good to see that we have people in the house of God this morning. Amen? Amen, amen. Turn me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And of course, if you haven't given, as you guys know, there are several ways to give. So feel free to support us as we push out the gospel. Amen? Amen. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And it reads, on the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and the other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Raise your hand if you've never prayed that prayer to God before. Jesus, do you not care? Everybody here at some point has said, Jesus, do you not care? Jesus, do you not see what I'm going through? Jesus, do you not see that this trial has come again and again? Jesus, are you going to do something? Jesus, are you going to move on my behalf? Now, the way you guys were just worshiping God, I believe that nobody here has ever said that, right? Nobody here has ever said, Jesus, do you not care? But the truth is this, that we all go through storms in life. We all find ourselves in different trials and different storms. And although that storm is a problem, what we're going to see in this text is that oftentimes in the trial, that storm is not the real problem. though we're going through a storm, that storm is not the real problem. And the real problem, as we see in this text, is that oftentimes in the trial, we forget the person that's in the boat with us. We forget the person that is actually in the boat with us. And that person is the person that we just sung about this morning, Jesus. So we see here in verse 35, and we see that it says, on that same day, when the evening had come, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross over to the other side. So the word of God came from the mouth of Jesus. So what did they do? They got on the boat and they began to cross to the other side. And verse 37 says, after they did exactly what Jesus had said, so they obeyed him. And it says, and a great windstorm arose. Now, if you ask me, it sounds like they got set up. How many of you guys have ever felt like God is trying to set you up? You obey, and then the trial comes. You start paying your tithe, and then your car breaks down. You start coming back to church, but your kids start misbehaving. It seems like when you try to take a step and obey what God is saying do, something goes left. When you say, God, I'm not going to, and I'm speaking from my own self, you know, my young self. God, I'm going to stop smoking weed. I'm not going to smoke weed for one whole week. And then something else happens, right? So it just seems like sometimes when we try to obey God, that's when the trial breaks forth. And this lets us know one thing, that obedience does not exempt us from the trial. Just because we obey God, just because we've said yes to God, just because we are trying to do the right thing in our flesh, that doesn't mean that we're not going to go through trials. And sometimes it even feels like before you got saved, before you chose to obey, life was a little bit easier. It almost feels like, you know what? Ignorance is bliss. You know, when you don't know that there's a God that actually has standards, it's almost like you can do anything and not care. But we see here that they obeyed. Jesus spoke, they obeyed, boom. They found themselves right in the middle of the trial. And verse 37 says, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Now, once again, we've all been in this position before, where what's happening outside the boat begins to fill up inside the boat. What's happening outside your life begins to fill up in your life. Your argument with your coworker turns into an argument with your spouse. And your spouse is like, where did that come from? Oh, what's happening outside the boat begins to fill up inside the boat. So we see here that once again, they obey Jesus. They were trying to cross over, and the storm was raging, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. So pressure outside begins to happen inside. So the storm was real. The water was real. The danger was real. The trials and storms that we face, they're real. They might be different. You know, your storm might seem small in my eyes, and my storm might seem small in your eyes, but they're real storms. We all go through real things. But once again, the storm was not the problem. See, Jesus, as he always does, he likes to answer with a question. So we're going to see here that though the storm was real, though the storm had a way of putting fear in their heart, truly, the storm was not the problem. And in verse 38, it says, but he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? See, trials have a way of revealing what we think about Jesus. And we might miss it, but they said, teacher, teacher. Because to them, Jesus was still a teacher that was there to just provide answers. Teacher, help me with this thing, not Lord. See, if Jesus is Lord truly, then he's Lord over all. In the storm, outside the storm, good day, bad day. But if he's only teacher, all you're looking for is for him to solve your problem and then, okay, back to what I'm doing. So they said, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And Jesus, rightfully, he stops the storm. As you can see, he stops the storm. He stops the very thing that they were praying to him for. But then he reveals the real problem. He then says, why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? How is it that you have no faith? See, this trial, this storm, it revealed the real problem. It wasn't the storm. It was the fact that they had no faith. But how could faith be a issue if when the storm came, they prayed to him? Just think about that. How could faith be an issue if they woke him up with the faith that he could do something in the storm? So technically, they had some faith, right? But Jesus is pointing at something deeper here. So Jesus is saying, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So in verse 38, once again, there is a detail that we miss, that I've missed for years. And I've read this verse over and over and over. That first phrase says this, but he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. So we see Jesus sleeping here, and we think, oh, well, he's a preacher, he's worked all day, so he's tired, so let him rest. But that's not what this text is saying. It says that he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. See, in the scriptures, there are many verses that show that Jesus was tired, was weary, but he did not sleep. In fact, he would get tired and go pray. He would get tired and go seek God more. This, as far as I know, is the only place in the Bible that it shows that Jesus was sleeping. So why was he sleeping? Just think about this. Why was Jesus sleeping? So the KJV says that Jesus was in the hinder part of the boat. Now, if you don't know what boats of those days look like, you would just think that the hinder part means the back of the boat. But when you actually look at what a stern is on a stern is where they control the boat. A stern is where the actual captain of the boat sits and gives direction to the boat, making small little corrections as you sail to make sure that you get to where you're going. And it says that Jesus was in that place, but he was sleeping. Can you show that graphic that I have up? So this is what that looks like. So this is a boat of that day. And Jesus was sleeping right there in the stern, where you would have the actual captain of the boat steering that ship. So how often do we do this? How often does this look like our life, where you have two captains in the stern? We're steering the boat, and he's sleeping. See, these people were fishermen. They knew how to sail boats. So they heard him say, oh, let's go to the other side. Okay, cool. I'm good at this. I'll do it myself. Yeah, he's called me to preach, but I like to speak, so I'll do it in my flesh. Yes, he's called me to do A, B, C, D, but I'm good at it. So let me use my own strength and let me actually sail while Jesus sleeps in the boat. See, this is the only place that we see Jesus sleeping. Jesus is not sleeping because he's tired. He's sleeping because sometimes we, like the disciples, we get in the stern, but we do not give him full control. And sometimes in the trial, trials have a way of showing us where we trust ourselves more than we trust him. See, they thought that the storm was the problem, but Jesus was like, no, there's something inside of you It's not what's outside that defiles the man, but what comes out of him. As you can see, their prayer was, Jesus, don't you care that we perish? And sometimes we're that way. We think that God's care is tied to our living. We think that God's care is tied to us having things and you know, doing all the things that we think that we should do. But Jesus is aiming at something deeper in this text, and he's aiming at something deeper this morning. Because sometimes we trust God with the big storms, which is why, once again, we see they woke him up knowing that Jesus could do this. Jesus, we know you can save us from the storm, but we don't trust you to control the boat. We don't trust you to control the day-to-day things that we go through. We know you can save us from cancer, but I don't trust you to tell me how to eat right every day. Like, we love God for the big things, but those small things, we're like, yeah, I know how to do it. I'll do it in my own strength. And we see here that Jesus, because he's such a gentleman, he'll sleep. He'll rest in your boat and watch you struggle until you cry out and say, Lord, don't you care that we perish? So we see here that these men who are just like us, they find themselves in a storm. They find themselves in a place where their idea of who they thought God was is being challenged. Teacher, help us. But he's saying, wait a minute. You guys didn't want my help, so I slept. But of course, as God does, because he is a loving father, he deals with the storm. But then he begins to actually do the real work, which is inside of us. Amen? So what now? What now? The storm has been calmed, and Jesus has challenged them in saying, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And then verse 41 says this, and they feared exceedingly, saying one to another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Who can this be? So after all this, they finally asked the most important question, who can this be? See, their prayer was, yes, we ought to pray when a trial comes. But the truth is that this is where Jesus wants to bring us to, where we begin to ask, who is this man? Who can this be? Who is this Jesus? Because before the trial, they heard the word of God, and they logically tried to make it work. In the trial, they emotionally try to make it work. But Jesus said, where is your faith? See, faith is not logic. Faith is not emotion. Faith is something deeper. And they were beginning to tap into what that thing is because they finally asked the right question. Who can this be? Because true faith starts with looking at Jesus and beginning to account for who he says he is. Because if we don't take into consideration who he says he is, we will miss him. So Jesus is saying, where is your faith? And as I was prepping for this message, it truly hit me that faith is spiritual accounting. That's what faith is. So that's my phrase, my term. Feel free to use that as you please, and I'll show you what I mean by that. Faith is taking into account who Jesus says he is. Who can this be? That is the question that they had to ask. Who is this that speaks and the waves and the sea obey him? Who is this that speaks and no man speaks after him? Who is this on the boat? Because we thought that he was just someone that could save us from the actual trial. But lo and behold, he's someone that nature, even nature, responds to. So who can this be? Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, this is what we call the hall of faith all the men and women of God in the text that have been used by God in mighty ways. And verse 17 says this: by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, yea, he that had gladly received the promises was offering up his only begotten son, even to whom it was said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So Abraham was being tested by God, saying, hey, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your only son. Abraham says, okay, cool. Because why? Verse 19 says this: accounting. He accounted that God is able to raise up even from the dead, from whence he did also in a figure receive Isaac back. So this shows us that Abraham accounted. Abraham did not understand. Look, God told Abraham that you will have a seed and your seed will have, you know, all these blessings and all these things. Do we really think that Abraham knew what all that meant? No. But Abraham accounted that the one that promise, the one that gave his wife's womb life, can bring this baby back to life. Abraham accounted, though he did not understand. He said, who can this be? Okay, this is the God that called me out of my parents' house, that has been with me, that has saved me, that has given me this child, even though my wife was 99 years old. Based on all these things, I am spiritually accounting that God is able. I am saying to myself, God can do this. So Abraham knew, though he did not fully understand, he knew. And that is where we are at this morning, because we all have trials. We all have things that we go through, right? We all have trials that come into our lives, and we say, God, clearly I am walking with you. Clearly I am being obedient. Clearly I am doing those things that you've called me to do. And sometimes trials have a way of making us question, God, do you really care? God, are you there? See, but faith is not ignoring the storm. Faith is fixing our eyes on Jesus. Faith is accounting for who he is in the storm. Dare I say, faith is accounting for who he is before the storm. Faith is saying, even in the storm, even when the storm comes, I know who I have on my boat, because he's the one in the stern controlling my everyday, controlling my thoughts, controlling my habits, controlling how I love my spouse, controlling how I yell or don't yell at my kids. He's the one in the driver's seat of my life. Because truly, that is what we have been called to do. See, faith is not just, well, I believe and, you know, God will do it. No, faith takes a spiritual muscle to truly look in God and say, based on all that I see, sun, moon, stars, the fact that he saved me, he can do this. He can finish the work that he started in me. He can do it, not by my effort, but truly he can do it. Because is he a man that he should lie? Is he us? No, he's God. He sits alone. Only he can do it. Is there anything too hard for Jesus? That is the question we must ask ourselves when we go through these trials. Is there anything that God can't do? Does he promise and not deliver? Is he like us? See, we have to factor God into the trial. We have to ask ourselves, who can this be? Because if he's just a teacher, then we'll judge God by the trials that he saves us from. But if he's Lord, we begin to judge him by who he is, by actually walking with him. See, husbands and wives, we notice that sometimes your wife or your husband will say no to that thing that you want. But you don't judge them by their no or their yes. You judge them by who they are, because you've gotten to know them. In the same vein, if Jesus is just a teacher, we are looking for answers and ways out. But if he's Lord, if we give him the proper place that he needs to have in the stern, in the hearts of our life, then he can control our every single day. So when that storm comes, Jesus is not sleeping. He already knows. He's already gone before you and made a way. Because when he's Lord, he's truly Lord of all. When he's Lord, we see him as Lord over the sea and the wind and Lord over our coming and our going. Because in the book of Colossians 1, it talks about this Jesus being the image of the invisible God. And it goes on to say this, that Jesus is Lord over all things, thrones, principalities, powers, government, storms, your spouse, your children, your boss, all things. That's who this Jesus is. Who can this be? That is who he is. In the storm, that's who he is. Before the storm, that's who he is. So truly, when we account for Jesus, there's only one option. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in us will complete it. Not because we try hard, not because we come to church, not because we pay our tithes, because he's faithful to his word. If he says that he will keep you, he will keep you. If he says that he will save your children, he will save them. If he says that he will be with you in the fire, he will be with you in the fire. That is who he is. So our confidence is not in our obedience. Because if our confidence isn't that, then trials have a way of knocking us over and making us feel like, God, what did I do wrong? You know, because we've all been there when a trial comes and we start saying, God, is there something that I did wrong? Did I miss it somewhere? Did I not give you thanks? Did I not do this? I mean, trials have a way of making us second guess what God has already said is finished. But we see here that being confident, Paul says, being confident of this very thing. See, I might not be confident of many things, but this very thing, this I know. He that started that good work in me, he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So this morning, the message is real simple. Jesus cares for you. Jesus cares for you. Even in a storm, he cares for you. But the you that he cares for is not the you that you know. Because we often see trials as, God, I'm perishing, save me now. But Jesus knows who you're going to be. The same way he knew who these men would be. See, these men on this day, they thought that God caring for them and perishing were the same thing. But 10, 15 years down the line, these would be the same men that would gladly die for Jesus, that would gladly lay their life down for him. And Jesus knew that that's where they were going to get to. So he had to get that out of their heart, thinking that, oh, Jesus caring for me means my life is going to be good. No, Jesus caring for you means that that faith that he's put in you, it will truly grow into a mature faith that can feed others, that can be a blessing to those all around you. Because that is what we see here, that these same men who once thought that their life was something to hold on to became men that gladly laid their life down because they stopped asking Jesus, do you care? And they started saying, it doesn't matter what comes, Christ over all. So this morning, it's simple, saints. Jesus cares for you, but he knows who he's making you to be. You might not know it, and these trials have a way of just exposing us to those idols and those things that we have in our own hearts that we think that, well, you know, if only God can fix this one thing, then my life will be so much better. But we see here that, no, God is making us into something that we could never be on our own. So as I close, I simply want to just read one more scripture in the book of 2 Kings 6. 2 Kings 6. In 2 Kings 6, verse 16, the servant of Elisha had that same fear. They were at a valley, and he saw the enemy on the other side. And just like these men who were in the boat with Jesus, they began to fear, or he began to fear. But in verse 16, it says, Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So sometimes we fear because we don't see. Sometimes we fear because we are looking at the storm too closely. Sometimes we fear because we forget who is on the boat with us. We forget that he is able, truly he is Lord. And not just Lord over the storm, but Lord over the boat. Not Lord over the storm, but Lord over the boat called your life. So this morning, Father, we just come before you, all heads bowed. We just come before you and we just thank you because you are Lord, not over the storm, not just over the seas, but you are Lord over our boats. You are Lord over our lives. You have the right to say go left and we go left. You have the right to say go right and we go right. Father, we know that we are nothing without you. We truly need you, Lord Jesus. We need you, Lord. Help us this morning, Father. Search our hearts. See if there be any way in us that is not right. Any place in us where we are doubting if you care for us, Lord Jesus. Help us to fix our eyes on you. Not even in the storm, Father, before the storm. Help us to truly just account for who you are. Because you are Lord over all. You are Lord over the very details of our life. Father, help us this morning. For we can do nothing without you, Lord Jesus. For you are making us into something that is greater than we can ever imagine. So when that storm comes, Lord God, help us not to be fearful. But help us to have faith in you, in who you would say, in who you said that you would be. Father, once again, we just thank you this morning. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen.
Jesus' name. Amen. Give Pastor Ike a hand for bringing the word of the Lord this morning. No matter what we're going through in life, always know and understand that Jesus does care. He cares deeper than we ever can imagine. Amen. If you haven't had a chance to give, we do need your support. Those that support in-house and by webcast, we really appreciate you and thank you and God bless you. Communion will be March 29th for both services. Come prepared for that as well. And this past Wednesday, we did not have Bible study. If you did not receive that alert, please sign up to receive notifications when services are canceled. If you would see Sister Jackie Boyd, she could probably direct you on how to sign up for the CU alerts. Amen. So please let's stand and let's be dismissed. Father, we thank you so much for your word this morning. We give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. As we go about this day and the days that you bless us with, Lord, we ask, Father, that we carefully take account on who you are, how you lead and guide us through life, how you protect us, how you provide for us, Lord, because we know that you care for us. We know that you love us, Lord God. So let us be encouraged to ever keep that on our hearts and our minds. We thank you for your word again. We love you and we thank you so much for your love. Be with us throughout this day in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.